Hello and welcome to Connectivity 195. I'm your host, Nicholas Perret, and today I'm joined by Adam Abunasser.
Hi, everyone. I'm kind of out of breath. I just ran from a pizza
buffet.
So
nice.
And Carmine Red.
Shut up and take my money.
Okay, I will if you want. You don't want it.
Well, you can take my amoeba.
That's all right. Today we're going to be talking about just having a small chat about microtransactions in Nintendo games and how we feel about that. But once again, I think we'll just catch up with everyone, especially because we just had Christmas and New Year's and everything. So Happy New Year's and everything to you guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy Christmas.
How did it go for you, Adam?
Oh, my Christmas was beautiful. I got Xenoblade, and I got a second gamepad charger.
That's good.
But the box it was in was really awesome. I actually have it here. It's Extreme Chores. It's a motion control video game.
I gave that. I gave that to somebody.
Oh, man. It's so beautiful.
What is it?
Have you seen this? It's a big box, and it has this family playing like a fake Wii game called Extreme Chores. It features digging, dishes, raking, and the litter box. And the kid on the front looks so excited.
There's an art to the litter box. I'll have you know. We've got 5 cats in the house right now. There's an art to the litter box. It's like Wii music, you know? It's underappreciated.
So it's a fake game. And I was really disappointed because I was looking at it. I was like, oh, my God. I love terrible games. And I was really excited. And I opened it up, and it was just a second gamepad charger, which I don't know if you remember from last week. I bought myself a gamepad charger at the Nintendo store because I was there, and it was cheap. And my family got mad at me.
Oh, so, and this is why.
Instead of Extreme Chores, I just got a second gamepad charger.
You ruined their plan.
I ruined Christmas. But they also got me Xenoblade, the special edition.
Dang.
And I know. I didn't think I'd get it because I pre-ordered it. And then it came out like 2 weeks before Christmas or something. So you have to go to this specific store, give them my phone number, and they'll give you a big box that just has nonsense and robots on it. And that's what I want for Christmas. And I told my mom that, like, on December 4th, I was like, Mom, I want this game. You have to go get it, please. And she was like, oh, I don't have, like, my money set aside for Christmas yet. Like, I'm not doing Christmas for another week or so. And I was like, no.
Nice deflection.
I was so sad. No, someone else in the family ended up picking it up and, like, selling it to my mom. You know, like, one of those back-end, like, Christmas things. Like, oh, I got an extra present, you know, I'll give it to you for a deal. But I got that. And the hardcover strategy guide, and I feel kind of bad. I've played.
Who made the strategy guide for it?
I don't know.
Would you recommend a strategy guide?
If you like strategy guides on your shelf, because that's what I do with them. It's Prima. Prima makes like all of them.
Prima. I'm just wondering because there are things I want strategy guides for. Like I want it for Animal Crossing. You don't need it for Animal Crossing. I want it for Pokemon definitely because there's just too many Pokemon. And if I'm going to get deep into something, like if there was a Harvest Moon strategy guide, I'd buy it. In fact, there probably is, and I just haven't seen it. But there are certain games that I haven't played Xenoblade yet, so I'm wondering, does it benefit from having a strategy guide as a companion?
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of missions that are just really like, you don't know what to do, or you don't know what enemy they're talking about they're wanting to go kill, so you just look it up. Because, you know, there's like a million missions in it, and I don't want to get stuck on one for too long, so I can just
look
up in the guide. But there's some things that, like, they don't really explain very well. That, like, the guy doesn't show you, the manual doesn't show you. Like, last night for the first time I played off TV, and I couldn't figure out how to access the map. Because when you're normally playing the game, the game is on the TV and the map is on the screen, and you can move around and touch to fast travel, and it shows you where your missions are and stuff. And I couldn't figure it out. But then eventually I found it in the manual. You're just supposed to switch, like, you're supposed to turn off TV play off to access your map. Yeah.
Really?
So even though I was in a different room than my TV, I was supposed to put it back on the TV and then go around the map. Oh, and there's no pausing in the game. Like, the only way to pause is, like, to go into a deep menu or hit the home button.
Yeah.
Just kind of frustrating. Like, if I get a phone call or something, it's like, well, I hope I don't get murdered while I'm talking to someone on the phone. And I have, like, a lot of little nitpicky things that I hate about the game, but overall, I think I like it. I don't know. I'm like 30 hours in, and I want to play more. So I guess I like it, but
I think I like it. I guess I like it.
I have to. At this point, I think I have to say I like it.
Yeah, I ended up buying the game like before Christmas, and I haven't touched it yet. But I don't know. The more I hear about it, the more people say how deep it is and how dense it is just to do stuff. So, it's kind of, like, worrying me a bit now.
It's a little daunting.
Yeah, that's the word, daunting.
Especially when it's sitting there and it just grows bigger in your mind after I'm in the same boat as you. I bought it. I haven't had time to play it. My brother and I look at it and we're like, let's play that this weekend. And we just don't have time or energy. Mm. And the longer we go, the bigger and bigger an obstacle it becomes in the sense of, like, I don't know, it just seems to grow in significance.
I think the best way to approach it would probably just be to not really, like, get too caught up in all the minor details of missions and stuff and just sort of push through as, like, just keep pushing forward as much as possible, maybe, and hopefully it all makes sense eventually.
Now, don't even worry about how big it is. Just play it and have fun. Like, I bought Xeno...
Can you do that? Can you sort of...
Just play it.
Is it... Or...
Like, I don't think...
You make it sound so easy. It's like you can't just play a Zelda game. You have to put in, like, an hour for tutorial. And then, like, an hour beyond that to actually get out into the overworld these days.
I could have beaten two Zelda games in the amount of time it took me to get this far in Xenoblade. And I still don't really know what's going on. But in the first Xenoblade, I put, like, 50 or 60 hours into it. It felt like I was halfway through the game. Because, you know, there's the two giant things locked in battle that, like, died and then everyone lived on them. And I'm on the sword in between them. So it feels like I'm halfway through the game. Yeah. And then it just stopped. And, like, every couple months I'll go back and play for, like, an hour or two. But I never beat it, but I felt satisfied. Like, oh, I had fun with that game. So this one, like, I don't think I'll ever beat it, but I'll probably put, like, a lot of time into it. Especially, I moved the Wii U into my bedroom so that my sister wouldn't have to sit through hundreds of hours of me running across giant fields.
It is. Does your sister usually watch you play video games, or she just hates it? Or, like, you're just hogging the TV?
Well, I mean, it's my TV, so, and it's my apartment, so she can kind of watch. But usually, if she's here, I'll try and play... like, either multiplayer stuff or off TV. Like, I'll play a lot of Smash while we're watching TV together. Or, like, we played a lot of Woolly World together, Affordable Space Adventure. She gave me a lot of shit right when Mario Maker came out because I was stuck on this level for hours. And there were all these Hammer Bros everywhere, and there were no mushrooms. And I thought, like, oh, this is a really good level. But now I realize it was a terrible level. And this stupid bitch put so many... damn Hammer Brothers everywhere. Oh. And she was making fun of me. She was like, why don't you just beat it? Like, come on, just beat it. It's Mario. It's not hard. And I made her try it once, and she died so fast. And she was like, okay. And she did the same thing to me with Captain Toad. She was like, this is a children's game. And then I made her play a level, and she died. And she was like, all right, fine. It's not a children's game. But I don't know. I don't think it's fair to make someone watch you play games, so... And this is not up her alley.
I just ask because I do a lot of my game playing vicariously. I've always done that. Because when I was growing up, my older cousins would play games, and these are complicated PC SRPG games that I have no idea what's going on. I just like, ooh, that's pretty. Ooh, there's stuff on fire. Oh my god, everyone's dying. I never want to play this game sort of thing. But I want to watch people play, so it's interesting. And like, I watched my brother play a lot of FF7 because I was like, only one of us needs to play this. I have a, I am against this game on principle. This, yada, yada, yada. And we got a certain distance in it, and then we couldn't get the third disc, so. So I end up watching games a lot. Or, like, my brother will be playing, like, Team Fortress 2, and I'll just, like, sit down and, like, can I watch it for, like, 20 minutes? This is really cool. And Splatoon is great for watching because he can be playing, and I'll watch his map for him. And I'll be like, oh, there's someone coming up behind you. There's two guys ahead of you. Here's the situation, sort of thing. Turn it into a bit of co-op.
So, Carmine, how is, what have you been doing lately then? How was your Christmas and stuff?
So, how is everyone still getting Christmas gifts? I haven't gotten, like, a video game for Christmas. I rarely get gifts for Christmas anymore.
Carmine,
this Christmas, the whole theme was, I'm giving gifts to people. And, like, my mom turns to me and says, give your cousin, like, $20. And I'm like, what? That's all my money.
I'm a college student. I don't know how old you think I am,
Oh, yeah, in college, we were still giving and getting gifts. That was cool. But I'm of an age now where the tables have been turned, and I now have to start tracking every Christmas. What are my gift-giving requirements? How old are the kids? Stuff like that. But, like, my little cousins and everything, I'm like, how old are they? They're in high school now? That's crazy. They're still 8 in my head. Can I still give him video games?
Can I ask how old you are?
Is
it part of your mystique?
I am. You're making me do math.
Oh.
You're making me do math. I'm 31, but I turned 32 this month.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks.
No, that's scary. I mean, I pretend like I'm young, but I'm 25, so I'm coming up on gift-giving age.
You are young. You've got your whole life ahead
of you. I've
got
the next 5 years before I have to give gifts.
No, but I think, like, I'm pretty cool with this age because I feel like I grew up in the NES days. I got a little bit of that. I was still very young, but played a ton of NES. And then really, you know, going through the 90s with the 16-bit era and the 32-64-bit era was really, like, perfect video game playing age for me. And just tons of video games that were really formative. And so I feel like I threaded the needle there, you know? Like, if there was a video game age I'd want to grow up in, this is a pretty decent one.
Yeah, you're like a year older than Super Mario Brothers. So you kicked off the whole industry, man.
What was it? Is the NES is considered second, third generation?
I think.
Of video gaming? Yeah. There's technically, like, two before that. Yeah, so it's really easy. I'm like, when did the NES come out? Oh, yeah. that's my decade of... I don't remember it, but the 80s is, like, tons of stuff happened, including my birth.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, but, I'm hearing about you guys getting gifts, and I'm like, that's great. I'm even running out of, like, people I could give a video game to. Like, I'm buying all this stuff. I'm like, I wish one of my cousins was as crazy into this stuff as... I am. I mean, they play video games, and I've given before, but it's really great to be able to shop for someone else.
Yeah.
And like, what I really miss is we should have asked this during when we had who did we have from Nintendo on the telethon? We should have asked, why can't I gift anyone on the eShop?
Yeah, because that was on the Wii, and they just abandoned it for some reason.
Yeah, they abandoned it. Maybe they have some reason they didn't want to do it anymore. And I mean, it would be cool if we could buy codes. And I'm sorry, this is total tangent, but you can only buy codes from like Nintendo first party stuff. And if I want to gift somebody like the entire Phoenix Wright, you know, collection, which is totally, you know, which is like something that I really want to facilitate and shout from the rooftops about, you must play Phoenix Wright. This game is awesome. But, I can't. I'm like, take this eShop card. Please spend it on what I tell you to spend it on.
I've done that before. I've, like, sent people pictures of eShop cards, and been like, surprise, it's Splatoon. That's what you're that's what you're buying. But they're weird increments, like they don't cover tax. So I'll be like, oh, you're gonna have like $2 left over. Like, you should put that towards Super Metroid.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, because it'll be like $50 card and a $20 card. Because the game is $60 plus tax, and then there's like leftover, and I'm like, they don't have a $5 card or anything. Or an,
I'm trying to remember
an 8% card.
If I know that there's like a field for tax. I just can't remember actually seeing anything on there. Maybe when you buy like a pure eShop game, there's no tax. But maybe when you buy like a retail game, there's tax.
No, there's.
I don't
there's
remember
always
seeing
tax
on there.
Because the topic that we're talking about today, stupid fucking Badge Center, they always charge me $1.07, not a dollar. I always forget about that sales tax, but they charge it.
Ah, where's my 3DS?
Are you gonna go buy some plays right now?
I must see this. Have I been paying tax all this
you
time?
You have been.
They're sneaky.
No, legally, if they don't charge you tax, you're supposed to report
it. I think
it
depends on what state you're in.
No, you're supposed to report it on your taxes. So some states...
But are they supposed to collect it? There's a thing where you can report it, but they're not going to charge you. So you sort of have to take the time to record it and then go to the IRS and say, hey, by the way, here's money, which I don't know if anyone does.
But you're supposed...
I guess.
Close to. But like Amazon, they're like, oh, you can do that on your own. But Nintendo, you know, they're kind of trying to be an...
Everything's above
up
board.
And up. Yeah, so I feel like they might be like, oh, yeah, you have to pay taxes on this.
Okay, I'm going in right now, and I need to find this out.
Maybe
okay,
that's why you can't gift things, because on the old one, you paid taxes on the Wii points that you bought at the store. And then... You just had those points, and you would spend points on things. There wasn't tax in
tax
the shop.
Code.
It's the most difficult game.
No, because I remember that they're not being taxed because I'd buy stuff, and I could count the number of games I'd bought by how far down the cents increments had gone. So I was like, oh yeah, when I get back, if I had like a certain number amount, and I bought like one game, I'd be at 90. I'd be like 1 cent, because it would be something 99. So they didn't always used to be taxed.
Man, they always charged me tax. I swear. Maybe it is by state.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be by state because California has different tax stuff that happens compared to other states.
In Nebraska.
And maybe it'll change. I bet you this will change for like maybe this. I mean, we have some sort of. For 2 years, Amazon gets a buy, and then they have to start collecting it, and then everyone will have to start collecting it. Yeah, it's mostly because of Amazon, right?
I think so. That's where most people buy stuff online. But speaking of states, I do have to apologize. A listener reached out to me, and I kind of implied on the last episode that I was from the middle of nowhere, Nebraska. And I'm actually from the biggest city in like the tri-state area, Omaha. But it's still, like, the whole state is just the middle of nowhere. So, I may be from the biggest city around, but it's a very small state. Like
So, in your defense, it's still Nebraska.
It's still Nebraska. We have less than 2 million people in the whole state. It's just, like, nothing. It's, like, zero people.
How many small? When I'm thinking of you in a fraction of Canada, that's
well. How many people live in your state, like, or in your city? Do you know? Because I know we have 900,000 people in Omaha. We're very proud of it. We put it on the front page of the newspaper.
I have no idea how many people live here.
Okay, so we'll try and get a bit back on track.
Wait, tangent. But just a quick update. No tax.
Okay.
That I'm trying to buy something, no tax.
Alrighty, I'm glad we sorted that one out. As for me, I actually got a PS4 for Christmas for my girlfriend.
Jesus,
so
keeper.
That was really cool. I wasn't planning on buying one anytime soon, but now that I have one, it's kind of cool. I've been playing The Last of Us Remastered. I actually finished that the other day. Have you
That is the one that used her likeness?
No, Ellen that's Page's the one that likeness? They kind of ripped off her face, it? Sort of, and she complained.
That's the one that stole it. Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's maybe it was an earlier version of her character model that looked closer to her, but I guess it's possible they, like, sort of, one of the artists based it off her, but I don't know. Anyway, have you guys played the game?
I haven't.
No. I actually ended up playing it on the PS Vita.
Huh.
I had the... I don't know if you have it there, Nick, but we have the PlayStation Now, the streaming service.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't looked into it.
Well, it's really weird. Like, there's a PlayStation 3 somewhere in the world hooked up to the internet that you can rent to stream to one of your devices.
Mm.
And the only device I have is a Vita. And when I found out about it, I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll play The Last of Us. And I played it for like a couple hours, and then I fell into a hole, and the hole was full of zombies, and I died. And then I tried to go around like a corner, and this really scary zombie came and killed me, and I died. And I gave up on it for like 2 or 3 months, and then they kept charging me for this damn monthly service. Ooh. Yeah, and it's $20 a month.
Plus tax.
So like the third or fourth month, I kind of left my job. I totally left my job. So I was like, well, I can't afford this anymore. I should probably cancel it. So I canceled it, and it said you have till the end of the month. So I was like, okay, then let's play this game again. So I was playing it, and I got a bit farther. Apparently, the test lady leaves at some point, and I still have her, so.
Oh, yeah, pretty early. Probably not even really out of the, like, introductory area, really.
Yeah, not that far. I think what makes me sad is that I probably could have bought, like, a really old, used PS3 for the amount of money that I spent on the damn streaming service. And I've had PlayStation Plus for, like, 2 years, so I have a bunch of free games that I could have played on that. So, I don't know. I feel like I got a little ripped off, and it was kind of janky on the system, but...
Yeah.
Well, we are here to talk about, like, the brave new world of, like, digital purchases and all the ways they can do that.
As for The Last of Us, I liked it. I'm actually probably going to play through it again, which, I don't know, says something about it, I suppose. A lot of the encounters, I think, I don't know, the game sits a bit better with me than the Uncharted games. Like, the way that the gameplay is sort of segmented up. Feels a little more natural in The Last of Us compared to, like, Uncharted, maybe. The story, there's, like, a lot of people go on about how good the story is. I found it, the actual plot lines more, standard storytelling fare. I think it succeeds mostly in making, like, just, like, being in the environments and stuff, like, just playing as the characters in this environment. You can sort of imagine you in, like, The Walking Dead or something. It succeeds on, like, the character and just the setting level more than the actual what happens in the story, I think. It's pretty fun. And the DLC chapter was pretty interesting as well, even though that was, like, only an hour and a half long or whatever. So that's about all I've been playing. I did download Rocket League, so I'll probably try and play that with Neil or someone eventually, because it seems pretty fun. That's pretty much me wrapped up. So we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with our main topic about microtransactions in Nintendo games. We'll be right back. And we're back. So now we're going to talk about microtransactions in Nintendo games. Where did we want to start? We should probably avoid the tax thing, maybe. I don't know.
I think we should start at the beginning with the really crappy DLC levels on New Super Mario Bros. 2. Like that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They were so bad and really expensive and timed. You had like a minute to beat each level. And I felt like that was the first time I was ever like ripped off by Nintendo. And I have like Pokemon Dash and all sorts of shitty Nintendo games. But that was the first time that they ever wronged me.
I thought most people kind of liked the DLC in that game.
I felt they were expensive and I still bought them all. But I never really like enjoyed them.
Hmm.
So is that just a case of a bad... We've all bought bad games, but is just bad DLC the same as a bad game? Like, I paid money for this, and I wish I hadn't, sort of thing, because the game turned out to be not as good as I thought it was.
I don't know, because I liked the game. It felt like they wanted more money from me just because I enjoyed the game, but then they didn't give me anything that I would enjoy.
So how about, like, Smash Brothers, where they have DLC for that now? Have you been buying any of that?
I only buy the characters and the stages. I won't buy the Mii costumes.
Yeah, me too.
No.
But are you happy doing that? How much have we spent on just characters and stages? I feel like every time it comes out, I spend another $10. Because I buy it for Wii U and 3DS.
Yeah, it's kind of expensive. Right before Christmas, like 2 days before Christmas, I bought Cloud. And it was like $7 or $8 plus tax. So that like hurt, right? That close to Christmas. Like, oh no, I just spent all my money. I felt really stupid because I asked for eShop cards. And then I was like, well, what if I get eShop cards? But I didn't get eShop cards. So, but I love the Smash characters. I'm really happy that they're coming out with more. I'm really sad that they're not coming out with more.
Yeah. I was shocked again. Shut up and take my money. Why are you stopping?
They're going to...
I'll pay you $10 every time this happens.
No, they're going to come out with more. What I think they're going to do is I think they're going to port this to NX, the Smash Bros. For Wii U, with all the DLC characters.
And continue.
Plus, like, Inklings or some shit. And then continue. But in, like, a year or two, like, give Sakurai a break and get the NX kind of out there. But it would be so easy if they're... borrowing the architecture from the Wii U to move Smash over there and then add a couple characters, like, that's a guarantee sell. Everyone will buy that buys an NX.
Yeah, maybe. I've bought, like, most of Smash DLC. I'm just trying to think of what other DLC that from Nintendo that I've actually paid for.
Did you?
Mario Kart. The Mario Kart stuff was really good.
Mario Kart.
But are we talking about DLC or microtransactions?
Sorry, microtransactions. It's all sort of mixed together, isn't it?
Define. Yeah, what's the difference between DLC and microtransactions and...
DLC I usually associate with content, and microtransactions are usually things like pay-to-play or like pay-to-play stuff, micro sort of transactions. You got to keep paying little bits of money to keep sort of going along the game.
Okay.
Yeah, a microtransaction is something that you can do it again and again and again, but DLC is something you just do once.
Okay. So I don't know. I like the DLC. DLC is much more traditional then because it's much more like an expansion pack, although you can use them in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've had like... expansion content for ages.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the PC world, you buy the expansions. I don't know. I feel like, have you guys ever played, what is it, Rusty's Real Deal Baseball?
It never came out here, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it didn't.
I never ended up playing it because I knew you had to pay, and I felt, like, dirty, but I really wanted to.
It sounded pretty fun. Like, some of the games sounded fun, but, yeah, I haven't...
It's an experiment, and some of the games are sort of neat, but they're really all these sort of like mini games based around baseball and different baseball skills and stuff like that. And So I don't know whether it makes that much sense to pay like as much for each of those mini games, but the way they did it is just really interesting, and I think it's like it was this experiment in what's the relationship between the player and making these like downloadable content on transactions throughout the game. I don't know if anyone else really. I don't know how much of a splash it made, but I think by the end of it, I spent, what, $16 to unlock everything? Mm-hmm. And that was, and I'm fairly confident that I did all the bargaining correct. So it was a bit of an expensive experiment. Yeah. But I guess that would fall under the term DLC, because you buy it all and then you're done. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to buy. You can't just keep throwing money at the dog to feed his kids.
You fed them forever.
You unlock all the content, then you just say, oh, you can pay me whatever you want to make me feel happy.
Well, it's interesting because it's this, again, I feel like it was an experiment because you're actually haggling with him for the real price. So he's there trying to say, hey, buy this for $2.99, and you're like, have a donut. And he's like, oh my God, this donut makes me feel so good. What price did I say? $2.69? And then you're like, oh, so there's all these little, like, dialogue tree tricks you can play and using items on him to like lower his resistance until you get down, and then coupons. There are coupons in the game that affect the real price you pay for it. So it's this really experimental thing. I haven't seen it done elsewhere.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It just, but if you look at it as a pure, I'm paying money for this mini game, which feels like it's out of, you know, WarioWare, out of Mario Party. It sort of becomes a wholly different value proposition and somewhat expensive. It was, I liked it for the journey. I just don't know if it'll be repeated.
Yeah, maybe on mobile. Maybe they'll play around with Rusty again on a mobile game.
With like variable prices and this weird sort of, you are haggling directly with Nintendo characters for how much you pay Nintendo. I don't know. That'd be weird.
Then Reggie just comes in and says, you're paying this much. And breaks your knees.
Oh, jeez.
So you wanted to also talk about the Nintendo Badge Center game. I haven't actually downloaded this either, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's awful.
Horrible?
I hate it, but I love it also. I hate.
So this is microtransactions. This is where, if you're not careful, they'll take your money and keep on taking it.
Yeah.
And I think, what was the review on our site? It's like, if you have a gambling problem, stay away.
Yeah, it was something a like 6 that. Out of 10.
A six out of 10. But the abstract was something like, if you have a gambling problem.
Yeah.
How can they get away with, like, I don't know, Nintendo make a game like this, but then, like, they ban, like, what is it? Gambling in Pokemon games. Like, they took it out.
Well, here's the thing. Gambling, here's I think where the distinction lies, and it might be, I could be wrong. I'm no expert in gambling, but I think that technically you look at Badge Arcade and it's a skill-based game. It's a crane game. Which are really difficult, and if you go out and play a real crane game, they're designed not to be won. You know, they're designed to take your money, but this is technically a skill-based game, and if you play it, they don't make it that hard because they want you to keep playing it. But stuff like Pokemon, where you have blind packs, and in the first Pokemon game where it's really just random, you're pulling on slot machines, that's gambling. Mm-hmm. It's the same discussion that I think happened with stuff like, have you guys heard about DraftKings and
the sports
betting, they're like NFL draft sports betting sites where you play against other people.
Okay.
Yeah, they're getting like in a lot
that
of trouble
was,
for being gambling.
Those guys are getting into trouble because they were trying to make the argument, hey, it's a skill-based game.
Yeah.
You know, because you choose you're in a fantasy league. And you're playing against other people, so it's like that. And I guess it did not hold up in courts. So, there's all these places cracking down on them and saying, if you're gonna do this, you have to be like, you have to call yourself this, and you have to do all this through the official state stuff, so. Just sort of closing around. So that's what I've been thinking is like the difference between something like Badge Arcade and something like capsule sales systems,
yeah.
which are actually also in like, I forget what you call them, gacha or something?
Gachapon.
Gacha, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Gachapon is actually regulated in Japan now.
Oh, really?
Like, if you do this, yeah, you have to be careful. They'll get, they'll actually, I think if you do this in a game, there's like, they're starting to like say, okay, if you're doing this, you have to like follow certain rules and stuff.
Yeah.
I bet it's still popular, but I think they're starting to say, we have to regulate this. We can't just let anyone make these plug in money and get random, things out. In a video game mm. context.
So anyway, yeah, let's get back on track to the actual Badge Arcade game. So you pretty much put in like a bit of money and then you can play to get like one of these badges, right? For your 3DS home screen or something.
Yeah, the way it's set up is each different machine is based off of a game. So there'll be like a Splatoon machine or like a couple Mario ones, a couple Donkey Kong ones, and it'll have like five or six badges from that. And like the hardest one to get off to the side will be Donkey Kong, and then there will be like a Cranky Kong and like three barrels. And the barrels are easy to get, but the other ones are hard to get. And you put in a dollar, and you get five plays, and you see how many you can get. And every once in a while you'll get a free play, or there's like a practice machine. You don't get to keep the ones from the practice machine. You can only do that once a day. So it feels just a little too expensive for what you get. Like you just get these stupid little badges you put on your home screen. And they're kind of fun, but the sets change out like every 3 or 4 days. So you're kind of pressed to spend money and not wait for a free play.
Because you can sort of like not get something, right? You can just miss out on the thing you wanted.
Yeah, you can get nothing, or you can just get like the damn donuts from Mario.
Like I'm stuck on like a machine right now where there's only one piece that I'm missing, but I suspect that the way that machine is laid out, I have to get every other piece before I can get that one piece. So there's a possibility I'm going to miss out on that. It's going to switch out in 2 days and I'll have to start over on something else.
Yeah. So would you like, this is like the like microtransactions, because you're constantly like, you know, trying to put more money in, right, to get stuff you want. Would you guys have just preferred like these were just listed on the eShop and you could just buy them outright, packs of stuff outright?
No, I like the game.
Oh no. No. It makes sense as part of a game. I like the crane game. And each machine is laid out differently. So it's like every time you go there you're like, "Ooh, this is a different layout. Ooh, this instead of a crane it's a hammer or it's a bomb."
Yeah.
You know, it's actually neat.
I would have preferred buying the actual machines. Like, for a dollar, you get this machine, and you can only play it 5 times a day, and every day it resets or whatever, but I don't have to give you a dollar every day just to play the same machine. I mean, then they'd have a bunch of money from me, because I would buy all those machines and never play any of them. And
then it'll be DLC.
Yeah, and I would be okay with that.
You know, then you're buying a level, and you have to beat the level to unlock some vanity content.
Yeah, and that is okay. That is very okay. But I don't know who this game is for. Like, it seems like it's for gambling addicts, because it's not for children. Most children don't have, you know, like constant internet access and debit cards. And if they get like a $20 eShop card, like for their birthday or something, and this is what they spend their money on, like their parents are going to be pissed. Be like, you what? You gambled to see if you could get a couple stupid little badges that do nothing?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're coming after, like, Carmine and I. Like,
I can see that. I can see those stories coming out in, like, 10 years' time when those kids have, like, grown up enough. It's like, I spent all my Christmas money on a useless badge.
So why are we more comfortable with DLC than microtransactions? Let's talk about that. So why do we like the idea of we buy the machine?
I think because it's a one-time purchase. DLC is generally just you want this thing, you buy this thing for the game, and you own that thing. Microtransactions, like I said, by the definition we're using at least, is like it always tries to get more money out of you. Like, you got to keep putting more in constantly, sort of thing.
Yeah, DLC is like a purchase, but a microtransaction is, it has a mystery total. Like, you don't know when you'll be done. It's like going to an all-you-can-eat buffet versus like a weight of your plate buffet. Like, I don't like it when they weigh your plate. It's scary. You know, you don't know how much money you're going to have to pay for your food, but the all-you-can-eat buffet, you know. Like, you pay up front, and then you have it, and you can just eat it until you feel really sick. Like with video games, you just play them until you feel really sick.
At that point, you put it down. So about 50 hours of Xenoblade, you put it down,
and
that's
you
when
go
you got
to the
sick.
Pizza buffet, and then you eat, and then you come back and play Xenoblade.
Eat until you get sick, you come back, you play video games until you get sick.
Yeah, man, 25 is a good
age.
Is
this just a thing about age, though? I mean, is it a generational thing? Are people more used to it? Or is there something that...
I think it...
A different segment of the population is happier to do microtransactions?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, our sort of age groups, like, we're in our mid to late 20s, early 30s, so our sort of age group is, like, still in that generation where we grew up, where we pay money for something, and we get this thing, and we own this thing. The 5 and 6 year olds today, you know, and a bit older, are growing up in the era of you don't own your stuff. Like, they're perfectly happy to just buy stuff on iTunes, like movies, or, you know, just watch Netflix, and not really, like, you pay money for access, you're not really paying to own. So I guess, like, the whole microtransaction thing is also involved in that sort of stuff. Like, all the free-to-play games, it'd be interesting to see the opinion on people, like, when, like I said, when they grow up in, like, 10 years' time, when, like, all these 6-year-olds are, like, 16, 17 or whatever, see what the opinion is on all that stuff then, like, from them, and say, oh, will they prefer just to, like, not own anything and just pay for, like, little bits of money here and there to do stuff, or would they prefer to, like, actually own stuff still? So yeah, I think it probably will be and is a bit of a generational thing, but it also depends, I guess, on, like, parents and how they, what they let their kids do and stuff. But because I wouldn't really want to, like, let a little kid lose with a free-to-play game, like, and let them spend money on it.
Yeah,
there was,
and I mean, there have been cases where that's gotten completely out of hand in the mobile industry, like Smurfs. I think the Smurf mobile game got in huge trouble over that. I think this was on iOS, and the mechanics at the time on their app store was, like, if you put in your password once, for the next 15 minutes you did not need to re-enter it, and you could buy anything. So the kid would just keep buying it. And also, I think the thing really against, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, but I think there was also, like, they weren't very clear that you were spending real money, something like that. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I found that, like, even, I don't download many mobile games, but the few that I have that have microtransactions in the game somewhere, it's always kind of confusing, and you're not sure 100% if this is in-game currency or is this going to be a payment. You can turn that stuff off, I think, in most games, but they might be a bit better about this now, but I do remember a couple that I've, like, tried just to, like, test out. They were, like, a little bit not upfront, 100%.
So how do you feel about that sort of thing coming to Nintendo?
Yeah, I can do without it, the free-to-play model. Like, it's probably inevitable that Nintendo's going to do this sort of stuff on mobile to a degree. But I can... it depends on the games, but I'm more inclined to ignore downloading their mobile stuff unless it's, like, gets really good reception or it's really fun or something. Because I don't even download a lot of mobile games in general. I mean, I don't really like playing games on my phone that much.
Pokemon Go!
Oh my god, I'm so excited for Pokemon Go. Like, please.
See, Pokemon Go is going to have, like, microtransactions, because you're going to have to spend money on your Pokeballs and stuff, right? Isn't that what we're assuming?
Well, that's okay, because I get to be a real-life Pokemon master. So, you know, you have to pay for your stuff.
But you have to pay in PokeDollars.
Yeah. And there's going to be tax to pay for the Pokemon centers.
It's interesting. That's how they fund it.
Yeah, it's public.
Pokemon. I have to talk to my brother again. He has this whole theory about, like, the society of the Pokemon world and how they're, like, this ideal socialist something society where no one pays any tax and there's universal Poke Center healthcare or something. But, I don't know. I like what you said, Adam, though, about, like, you could take Badge Arcade, which is microtransaction, and you could turn it into a DLC, buy once, own it forever, and still play it, and still have that challenge of, you own it, but you can't unlock the content unless you can beat it in 5 plays, sort of thing.
Mm.
And then they could use, like, Street Pass coins. If you really need it, it's like 100 Street Pass coins, 10 plays. Something like that.
Oh, man. But, my Street Pass coins have been full for, like, 2 years. Like, I want something to spend them on so badly.
I want something to spend. Street Pass should be the painless microtransaction. All microtransactions should be Street Pass. Because then it doesn't... Then we're not in danger of
spending. Back when PlayCoins was, like, when the 3DS was coming out and stuff, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if PlayCoins translated, like, a certain amount of PlayCoins translated to real money? So you could have, like, I don't know, 1,000 play coins equals like 5 cents in the real dollars or something, 10 cents in real dollars.
Oh, God. Well, and they said they're gonna do that. So complicated. They said they're gonna do that with the, like, Nintendo account, where, like, playing the game gets you points, and then you can use those points
somehow
to buy like games and stuff.
Yeah, that might be where they're headed with that. That'd
but you might have to spend real money to play the games to get the points to get the rewards. Like microtransactions so to get points.
They get you
it's
in the end.
Illusion. I'm saving money.
I feel like maybe the future is that on mobile, because the market in mobile is so already in the microtransaction world, maybe their mobile games will have microtransactions, and maybe their console games will be more DLC oriented. That would be an interesting split. I'd be okay with that. I mean, I don't have any objections to microtransactions, but I feel like the relationship with the player is just so different from when you can pay for something up front.
Yeah.
It's like, you can pay for it, and then you don't have to think about money anymore. Mm. But with a game that has microtransactions, and to a lesser extent, constant DLC, you have to always make that, decision not to spend money. And it's a little exhausting, I think, sometimes. And then, of course, it opens up the game to, they have to design it so that you want to spend money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, overall...
And, I mean, in Badge Arcade's defense, it's all cosmetic. Yeah. You don't need anything.
No, I need it. I do need it.
I need it like I need my Amiibo.
Oh, overall, Nintendo's been fairly good so far with, like, how they've handled DLC and, like, microtransactions. I mean, even what was it? Is it the Pokemon line match 3 lineup thing? Wasn't there something like that?
Pokemon
could
Shuffle?
You pay, like, there was a game recently, you could pay, it was like microtransactions, but you could then pay like a full amount just to buy the game outright. What was that game?
That was Rumble World.
Oh.
Which both of those games are awful free to play versions of good Pokemon games. That made me so sad, because Rumble Blast had a story about evil toy Pokemon trying to take over the toy Pokemon world, and the original Pokemon Trozoi, which is really similar to Pokemon Shuffle, had a story about, like, this badass cartoon chick who went and, like, blew up, I don't remember what the evil team was, but the evil team's, like, bases, and it was really stylistic and fun and addicting, and they only charged me $30 once, like, 10 years ago, and I still have the game. They didn't take it away or charge me $2 every time I wanted to play it. That's what I hate about free-to-play games, is I can't, you know, just play them 10 years later without giving them money.
No, but what I hate is that you're telling me there's no story mode.
Yeah, there's no story mode.
I need story mode. I need an honest-to-God single-player campaign. I need story mode. Story mode made Tetris Attack.
So the game you're talking about was a Pokemon game, and you could play... like, put money in, but then if you felt like it, you could just put in, like, $20 or something and buy the game, right?
No, it was once you spent $35 in microtransactions, it didn't let you spend any more money in microtransactions.
Oh, okay.
And that
Oh, this is cool. I like this
idea.
I
don't, because it wasn't a good
game. Because then it's microtransactions.
But I think he also had the option of just paying the $35 up front, right, and unlocking everything.
I think they're like...
Oh, it was the Picross game, right? It was the Pokemon Picross. Wait, that's not it. That's not out yet.
No, that's out. It's out here. Yeah. Like, but Pokemon Rumble World, I think they came out with like a packaged version, but I'm not sure.
Hmm, okay. But yeah, I think I was thinking about Pokemon Picross where, it's got like a set limit, but you could also just pay money to unlock everything straight away sort of thing.
Yeah, and I don't know if that one is more DLC or microtransaction, because you're getting more puzzles, right?
Yeah, but you need to buy, I think the money is used to like power up your gems or something like that. Yeah, there's like gems or something you have to get somehow. I'm not sure. I'm not too clear on the details. I just remember it from somewhere from like, I don't know, a month or so ago. 2 months ago. But yeah, that's sort of both. That's like microtransactions and also just like a DLC model in one, basically. So
that's interesting. It's like microtransactions, but with a hard limit that will protect you from yourself and say, we're cutting you off, you know, like at a bar. It's like, okay, you've had enough. Here, you own the game. Okay, you've given us enough money. Which is strange. Imagine a company saying that. It's like, no, we're not going to take your money anymore.
No, I think they did that because Apple got sued because of games like where children could make in-app purchases and they had to refund a bunch of money. And Nintendo doesn't really want to do that down the line.
Yeah.
So they just put limits in.
So it might be in their best interest to keep playing as much as possible above board and, you know, try to protect players. I feel like maybe the money thing is tempting. Like, it would be tempting to, like, for a company to design this game and think, oh yeah, we're just going to keep, if they want to give us money, they should. But I feel like Nintendo should also be in a position to protect the relationship between the game maker and the player, where it doesn't become toxic. It doesn't become a case where the player starts hating the games because the games are manipulating them psychologically. Mm-hmm. It should be a thing where the games are fun to play, and whether or not you're paying for it, $60 up front, you know, $10 for every DLC, or like $1 or $2 at a time, the end result should be the player is actually having fun instead of the player feels like they're being manipulated. Yeah. And maybe a hard cap to microtransactions would be great for that, because it would be like, hey, you've given us a lot of money. You really like this game. Guess what? It's free now forever. Yeah. That I would think that would be like a great way to have that relationship, because that's what's really changing. At least before, it was like, I give you my money. I have the game, you know, and then now I just get to decide whether it was worth it or not. But now there's this longer conversation with the game maker where the relationship is much more complex, and my feelings about them is much more complex. Mm. And, you know, I might think, oh yeah, I'll give you some money now. And then they come out with, and then a day after I give them the money, they come out with a sale and I'm like, I hate you guys. You just took my money. I could have had an extra 500 rubies if I'd waited one day. I hate myself. This game is making me hate myself. I don't want to play this game because I don't feel like I'm in control. I need to go to, like, a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's the danger. When these, no matter how you extract money from people, how it changes the relationship. And it'd be really sad if I can't enjoy a Nintendo game because I can't enjoy, you know, the person I am when I'm playing it.
Okay, I think we'll have to wrap it up there. Thanks again, guys, for coming on this episode.
I don't think I've played Badger Arcade today.
Uh-oh. Someone's got a problem.
So, if anyone wants to send us an email that we can talk about on the show, that'd be great. You can send it to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. We're also on Twitter at ConnectivityNWR. That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, and Nick actually sends me really mean emails. Like, why isn't anyone... Why aren't we getting more emails, Adam? It's all your fault. And he curses and swears and uses, like, weird foreign swear words that I don't know.
Australian ones that you don't know. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. because it was so different here.
Yeah, he says he's gonna put my ass, my butt on the Barbie. So please send us emails. I'm so sad. I'm getting bullied.
It's not true. Don't believe him.
Cyberbullying is bad.
I feel like Demi Lovato when she was on Disney Channel. All the other Disney Channel stars are bullying me.
Is that a Wizards of Waverly Place reference?
No, she was on Sunny with a Chance, and then she left for the second season because she got bullied by the other Disney Channel stars.
I tell us how you really.
I feel like I'm being bullied by Disney Channel stars.
Okay. All right. Thanks again, guys. Bye, everyone.
Send us mail.
I'm a 鉄人だ 今解き放てよ